There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
This is a black and gold freight train. Freight train. Freight train.
All things Bruins and the NHL. It's the Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 the Sports Hub. You're calling for the tickets. You can stop calling. We have.
I won
winner.
Them. It you was did? Me. Yeah.
That was. I think you're. I'd have to check the rules, but I think the hosts are ineligible.
Not when you paint a portrait of Kovalchuk on your back. You're like, I earn these.
Show up wearing your Thrashers jersey on Tuesday night.
You should.
It is Ryan Johnston, Ty Anderson with you here in hour number two of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. We'll get back to your calls coming up in a bit at 617-779-0985. But right now we go back down to Florida and join Judd Surratt, who is with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And good morning, Judd.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
Doing well. You know, it's perfect weather here. Thinking about going golfing later. All is perfect.
Sounds good. Can you back up? Can I hear Ty's rationale for Ilya Kovalchuk?
Please.
All right. So
no, I'm waiting. Yeah.
So league minimum. Give him the Marleau deal. Give him a 20 game run. It doesn't work. Cut your losses and move on.
Why him versus a guy like Tyler Toffoli?
Well, I think cost. Like I think right now, like if you can get Toffoli, that's great. But if you're looking for a cheap sort of trial run here before you have to spend all the assets, I would almost consider it, because I think it's an almost no risk kind of move if he is as cheap as, let's just say, Patrick Marleau.
Doesn't he have a year left after this season?
Well, they're going to terminate his contract, and if that happens, he's going to be free to go wherever he wants.
I see. Okay. So basically, if they cut ties with him completely, then, you know, decide to bring him in.
Right.
Okay. I understand that makes sense.
And that's what's out there. There's a Russian report that said that his contract is going to be terminated. So.
Gotcha. I was listening certainly this morning, and obviously there's a lot of talk about, you know, playing the right side with David Krejci. And I'm just trying to think a little bit more in the bigger picture for the Bruins. And Bruce Cassidy outlined it, you know, here over the last couple of games. You know, he wants to see more from lines two and three. You know, but I think that extends beyond just the right side with a guy like David Krejci. Certainly a player in that position would help in the top six. But, you know, Krejci hasn't been as productive here lately. Jake DeBrusk, his production has kind of diminished here a little bit, you know, and then moved back. Charlie Coyle, and I know, Ty, you mentioned it, that recently he hasn't scored quite as frequently, but neither have his wingers, whether it's Anders Bjork or Danton Heinen. And then let's shift to a bigger picture. Torrey Krug's production has sort of dried up here a little bit, and that goes 5-on-5 as well as the power play. Early in the season, you know, and if you look at the numbers, the Bruins 5-on-5 are still one of the best offensive teams in the National Hockey League. They've hit sort of a rut here. It's coincided with the man advantage. And then to back it away even beyond that, a staple for the Bruins has not only been trying to get off to a good start, which they have here in the last two games, but it's been their ability to extend leads that's been a formula for this team. Andrei Vasilevsky prevented that with some spectacular saves early in the second period the other night in Tampa. And then the Bruins thought they had themselves a 2-0 lead in Washington. That goal got wiped off the board. So we'll see if they're able to bring a good start, extend that lead, and get the results that they absolutely have tonight here against the Panthers.
I mean, you had to bring that up because now I'm getting replay PTSD again. I mean, it was just, you know, I don't want to get into it. I just don't want to get into it. Right call? Yes. Necessary call? Absolutely not.
It's wrong. I don't know if you saw. Somebody just tweeted out. I think it was Dave Stubbs, the legendary writer out of Montreal, who I think is doing some stuff for NHL.com right now. The amount of replays that have been issued this year and the amount of goals that have come off the board and the amount that's not only impacted the Bruins, and I think that they've had 5 or 6 goals that have been taken off the board, by far among the league lead. But what's baffling is how many goals are coming off the board for offside calls. And for a league that is trying to encourage goal scoring, we're talking about six inches, maybe 8 inches, costing you at least early in the season. And we're, what, a third of the way in? 27 goals around the National Hockey League? I think that's an issue that needs to be rectified.
It's become a skill. Right, this has become a skill now for coaches and their video people. It's a defensive tactic you now have at your fingertips. You know, like before the goal is even scored, whether you might be able to take it off the board.
Okay, now this is your opportunity to get out of the rabbit hole.
I'm sorry. I'm getting out of the rabbit
hole. This is your opportunity to get out of the rabbit hole so we don't have to go down it.
Okay. that's exactly what we're going to do. All right. We talked with your partner, Bob Beers, about this a little bit earlier, but, you know, we're talking a lot about fixing that second line. And as you said, it's not just the second line. It's the second and third lines that Bruce Cassidy is looking to see more out of. You know, Beers, he said, He started to feel a little better about things in the last couple of games. He's seeing more. He's seeing a little bit of an uptick. And it's hard not to feel like they're going to drag themselves out of this. And the hope, obviously, is that it's tonight. But these are also longer-term problems that we're talking about here. And, you know, this team has a chance to win it all. I firmly believe that. But they're going to need something added to this team. I guess my question for you is, how important do you think it is for them to do it sooner rather than later? Talking about, you know, do you wait until closer to the deadline, or do you think there's going to be some sense of urgency here over the course of maybe the next month to do it sooner?
Well, I'll echo what Bob had said. I think if you're a general manager, whether it's Don Sweeney or any general manager around the National Hockey League, you'd love to be able to make that switch as quick as possible so that player can adjust as fast as possible to a new room, a new system potentially, new line mates, and depending on where he or, you know, where he's coming from, you know, what the situation is. So I think you'd like to be able to do that as fast as you can. But this is the real world, and the real world in the National Hockey League, and that might not necessarily be a reality for you. But I also want to backtrack, because there were a couple of points that I thought that Bruce Cassidy and Charlie Coyle had talked about here in the last couple of games that may help spur some of the production. And I agree with Bob. I think you've seen some encouraging signs. I think for Cassidy, he doesn't want to see his guys, if they have the opportunity to take ice, to chip the puck just behind the defense and go ask either you know, themselves to get it or one of their line mates to get it. And Charlie Coyle also talked about this. And he recently had a chance to sit down with some of the coaching staff, and they've had a chance, and a lot of the lines do this during the course of the season for the Bruins, to take a look at some of the video, and this is what the coaches are seeing, this is what the players are seeing. But I think what Charlie had mentioned is that if they have open ice in front of them, to take it, skate with the puck, create a little bit more. I think if you see the Bruins making better decisions with the puck, when they have offensive opportunities, I think you'll see the production start to spike up.
Defensively, you know, it coinciding with obviously a bit of a drought on the offensive end of 7 goals over the last 4 games. You know, they got touched for 5 goals by the Ottawa Senators the other night. You know, they did a pretty good job against Washington and Tampa Bay, but you still see little breakdowns. That Tampa game the other night, you know, Stamkos coming off a faceoff just gets left wide open. We're still seeing kind of those types of breakdowns, those types of mental mistakes, I feel like, here and there with this team.
Well, but Ryan, I think, you know, and Bob detailed this right after Stamkos scored that power play goal. So the Bruins, they had control back of the net, and that's where Marchand went, because Chara or Carlo in that situation was looking to bump the puck behind the net, and then it was Marchand's job to try and get it out. You know, at that point, Nikita Kucherov made a play, stripped him of the puck, and because Marchand was heading behind the net to provide an outlet for his defenseman, that left Stamkos wide open. So I think that was the case there. The other thing is, you know, here in the last 2 games, I understand the Bruins have surrendered some power play goals, but on this road trip in particular, you are facing 3 of the best power plays in the National Hockey League. I think if you look at Florida is 7th, and then you got Washington and Tampa, who are outstanding. Tampa in particular, number 1 on home ice, with a man advantage at about 35%. So it's a big chore. And usually when you're playing against top-end power plays, first thing you got to do is be mindful of trying to limit the amount of preventable penalties that you take, and that bit the Bruins.
All right, Judd, we appreciate the time as always, and look forward to the call tonight, and enjoy the rest of the trip.
All right, sounds good.
There's Judd Surratt, play-by-play voice for the Bruins here on 98.5 The Sports, up against 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff for the Bruins and the Florida Panthers tonight down south.
Do you put David Backes in tonight? Do you want to get some juice, or do you think this is just let this group work out of it?
I mean, I don't know what he brings to the table at this point.
Oh, weird. Weird. Weird that we're asking that still.
I mean, realistically, it's like, would you think that gives you some sort of uptick somewhere over what you've been seeing lately?
No, I just don't know what's going on with these middle 2 lines. I like what more can we do to try to figure this out and get them going?
I mean,
this is the point we're at.
I'm sure Bruce Cassidy's thinking the same thing. Like, I just don't know, because that's essentially what's available to you right now, right?
You move Coyle back there and you put Per Lindholm back in between Bjork and Heinen. You could do that. Like, I don't know. If this is a run and gun game, I don't know what, you know, like, that's the problem. I don't know what
that
you can do.
Maybe helps Krejci's line, and then it weakens the third line, right? I mean, that's ultimately what the trade-off would be.
You know,
if you have to give, and this goes back to, and I like what Krejci has done here, as you said, this year, I think last year was the same thing. If you have to give Charlie Coyle to David Krejci to round out that second line and produce some level of scoring, you're not in a good place.
No, but Judd made a great point. They got to play with the lead. They haven't been playing with the lead at all lately. And one of the problems too is that they tie it up against Washington, and then 2 minutes later they give up a goal, and it's like, well, that's over. Like that right as Carlson scored, I was like, yeah, well, this game's over now. Like, yeah, they're not, this isn't going to happen. Like, they need to get better at that. And Florida, this is a team. Remember that comeback in Boston. So
yeah, I think
no
I think,
lead is safe.
I think
tonight.
We all remember that.
Yeah, they got a 7-0 lead, and I'll feel comfortable. Maybe
that one's going to stick with you for a while. Ty Anderson is here. We will talk more about what's going on with the Bruins. And I also want to touch on, Maria brought it up earlier, I want to touch on Tim Thomas's appearance. It caught a lot of people by surprise this week, not only that he was there at all, but also certainly about what he talked about this week. So we'll get to that coming up, and more of your calls, 617-779-0985, here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Shoots and left, flashed up the glove, take it away.
It's the Hockey Show.
Centered, fired, they score.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Back here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Sean on the Twitter says, if Cassidy wants more out of lines 2 and 3, can he leave those lines together for more than a period?
He loves to tinker.
He's kind of flailing at this point. Right? I get the feeling like he's just trying to find something that will click, because nothing's clicking right now.
That's the biggest thing. It'd be great if you could leave them together, but what if they're net loss every time you're out there? You know, that's a problem. Like, I know some people don't like the advanced analytics and those stats, but I mean, these middle two lines are generating nothing. Like, it's been really bad these last few games. Yeah. I think the effort's there, but in terms of generating high quality looks to beat goaltenders like Braden Holtby and Andrei Vasilevskiy, I don't think that was there beyond the first line on Wednesday and Thursday.
I want to talk a little bit about Tim Thomas, the former Bruins goalie, made an appearance this week. We don't see him. Like, it just kind of has been off the grid for a long time. And, you know, I think a lot of us just kind of naturally assumed, okay, well, he was kind of a weird dude when he was here, right? Goalies oftentimes are, by the way. People don't understand that. Goalies are, many of them are a different breed. So I think most of us kind of chalked it up to that. You know, his career didn't end the way he wanted to. He, you know, kind of went off the deep end after the White House thing, and, you know, he went off to live in the woods and never to be heard from again. So when he popped up, you know, at the Bruins Capitals game the other night, as he goes into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, I don't think any of us were really expecting to hear what we heard out of him. And, you know, he talked about the concussion that he got in his last year and how it really just totally changed his life. And he, you know, hasn't been able to keep up with hockey, because can't watch the games anymore because of, you know, the issues that he dealt with and the mood swings that he was dealing with. And we've heard this from other players, you know, to some extent before. I don't think any of us really knew that any of this was going on. And it's scary, because this is a guy who, it's not even about, you know, Matt Cook taking you out with an elbow or anything. Like, this guy's just playing his position, gets hit in the head with a puck. And that sent him into a spiral for years.
Yeah, and it's pretty scary when you think about it and you listen to what he was saying. I mean, he was really in a dark place. Like, it felt like, you know, he had that comment where he said it was great to, he's breaking down. He's talking, it's great to feel like I'm welcome back in the hockey community.
You never weren't.
Tim, you were never exiled. Yeah. Like, everyone would have welcomed you back. But again, this is sort of the mental aspect of the concussions, right? They put you in just a dark place mentally. And he was there. And when he left the Bruins in 2012, it was for personal reasons. And it was something important to him. And I understand that. Tim Thomas was a man that, when he retired, did not want to be found. I tried so hard to try to get him to talk. And I talk about it whatever you want. I was like trying to get in touch with people. Hey, no White House. We won't talk about the White House. We will talk about, I just want to talk about him. I want to talk about the athlete that he was, what a great champion he was. No, no, no. And then you had the rumors that he was going to be here before Game 7 last year as the fan banner captain. And he said, no, I can't do that. And then he did some sort of interview. He gave some sort of comment, and he said, going to NHL games isn't easy for me. And everyone's like, oh, he's like, he said the sensations are a little too much. And I kind of read into that going, that's a weird thing to say. Maybe he just means like adrenaline. Like, he can't, like,
right. He just misses the game so much that he wouldn't, you know,
exactly. Yeah. And then he gives that press conference the other day, and you're like, wow, he actually can't handle it. Like his brain can't handle it. So pretty sad. I mean, this Tim Thomas, when he was in his prime, he was such a he was on top of the world. Think about it. He won the Stanley Cup. He was the best goalie in hockey. Had the best wire-to-wire season I've ever seen in my entire life of watching hockey and watching goalies. I've never seen a goaltender who was as good on day one to the last day as Tim Thomas was that year. And he walked away. He just left. And I respect that, but it also speaks to some of the problems that he was dealing with.
Well, that's, you know, I kind of wondered. Because, again, this is something that, look, he took, like, you know, it was a shot in warm-ups, I think he said, right? Like,
yeah.
Just, you know, he takes a puck to the face in warm-ups, and, you know, it changes him to that extent. I do kind of wonder, though, because we know what we do know about concussions is they can be cumulative, and you know once you've had one, you're more susceptible to others, and the effects can get worse and worse and worse. It did kind of make me wonder. Maybe this is something that he dealt with for his whole career. Might not have even known it, right? Might have been susceptible to that last one that he got because he had had other multiple concussions along the way, and that this might have been part of what people looked at as his quirkiness, or you know, some of the political stuff or whatever. Without getting into all that, like, could all of that have been going on in his head to a lesser extent back then, and it just kind of snowballed at the end of his career?
Right. I mean, think about the violent way he played a net too, right? Like, he wasn't your standard butterfly. Okay, just get down low. And like, he was a violent goaltender the way he played. He never gave up on a play. He was a battler. So yeah, it's possible that he sustained concussions then. I mean, think about how, you know, when you talk to the older players around the league and you say, hey, you know, what's your concussion history? They always go, oh, I've been bumped a few times.
No idea.
Who knows? Yeah. You know, it's like, wait, what?
I got my
like,
bell wrong.
Yeah. Like there are times, I'm trying to remember, I don't know if it was Yager or Backes. It was somebody that I was talking to about it, and they were like, yeah, there's been a few times where, you know, I got my bell rung and kind of blacked out, but it was all right. I'm like, all right, you blacked out. It's not all right. But that's sort of like the old mentality, right? Like, and Tim Thomas was certainly one of those guys. Tim Thomas, drafted by the Quebec Nordiques, by the way. So that gives you an idea as to how long he was around and the old school mentality. He's one of these guys, man. And goalies, I mean, think about how many times you get hit in the head with a puck during games, warm-ups, whatever it is. I mean, you can get one there and you just shake it off and you're like, oh, that felt weird. I mean, that could have happened to him 20 million times his career, probably. No.
Let's go to Mike in New York. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know what everybody's watching, but I've been following the Bruins for about 60 years. I'm going to be 70 years old this month. How any of you can say that Charlie McAvoy is untradeable is so far beyond me. I can't even think that anybody would even say that. I mean, I don't understand. I've watched every game for the last 20 years. I mean, it's really unbelievable how bad their defense is, how slow it is. They went on goaltending, and nobody can tell me. They've stole half the season with goaltending. So, that's the way I feel. So, I mean, I don't know. I would trade him in a second.
Then you would have no number one defenseman for the next 10 to 20 years, because that's what he is. I mean, look, not saying he's there yet, but the consistent improvement, if it's what we expected it will be, he's your number one defenseman for the, you know, hopefully the rest of his career.
Yeah, this has been a step back for him this year, I would say, like, as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think he's looked better in recent days, recent weeks. But no, this would be a bad time to sell on him because he's still young. He's going to be 22 this month. I don't know if it's already happened or not. But You don't want to sell now on him. You want to listen. This bridge deal is a good deal for all parties involved because we still haven't seen the Charlie McAvoy that is a number one defenseman.
There's a kind of a thing in hockey where for a defenseman, 200 NHL games before they're really fully mature at the NHL level. Charlie McAvoy is still 50 more games away from that.
Yeah.
So until the end of this season, essentially, I don't think you've seen everything that he can do. I don't think he's fully comfortable at the NHL level yet, as amazing as that sounds, because it's his third year as without having that experience.
Yeah, it's consistency for me. He had a great game against Ovechkin last month at the Garden. The next game, he lets Blake Coleman turn him inside out for a goal. And it's like, well, that can't happen. You need to string them together to be that guy. To be the number one, you need to have five or six games in a row where you are just phenomenal. And I'm still waiting for that. Again, that part of that is that inexperience, his youthful sort of energy here. I think he gets up for the bigger games naturally. But I just think that selling on him now would be a really big mistake for this team, especially given the right side and how thin they are on that right side. I mean, they have Carlo and Clifton, but you go beyond that in the pool, the prospect pool, it's not the deepest.
I also think that he knows that, you know, what I was talking about, what, based on the contract that he agreed to, right, 3 years, like he's not overextending it. He knows that there's, you know, in another year or two, that number is going to go way up because he'll have that extra experience because he's going to be that much better of a player.
He needs to shoot more. That's the biggest thing he needs to do.
They've been saying that since he got here.
That's the thing. They entered the year with this new contract saying we want him to shoot more. We want to know if he can quarterback a power play, and we want to see him bring it every night. I don't think he's done any of those three things this year. So there's still time, though.
Yep.
So don't write him off yet.
All right, let's get Sports Hub headlines, and then Billy Jaffe joins us to go around the NHL, and boy, is there a lot to cover there. We'll get to all of it next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Got some news within the last hour. Boston College football has a new head coach. It is former Ohio State co-defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. Speaking with my BC friends, they're excited about the move. So, BC football on the way up. We'll see. As far as your New England Patriots preparing for the Cincinnati Bengals tomorrow, they got seven players on their injured list, or seven players questionable. Excuse me. So let's get that right there. That includes wide receiver Julian Edelman. Mohamed Sanu also dealing with an ankle injury. For Edelman, it's his knee and shoulder bugging him. Ted Karras' knee also makes him questionable. Jason McCourty, the groin, among others. You can hear pregame coverage with Mark Bertrand and Chris Gasper 10 o'clock tomorrow morning here on the Sports Hub. The Bruins taking on the Florida Panthers this evening in Florida. They've dropped five straight, but they got a chance to win tonight. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop. Coverage underway at 6:30 here on the Sports Hub. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers will have you as always. Some local college hockey today on our HD2 channel. Northeastern hosting Dartmouth at 4 o'clock. You can hear that. Beautiful HD2 stream. College hoops, number one Louisville in action. Also got a match of the top 25 teams with Memphis and Tennessee going at it. Boston University is at home today hosting Dartmouth. The Sports Up headlines brought to you by Devil's River Whiskey, small batch bourbon, rye, and barrel strength whiskey made from the purest water in Texas. As for Devil's River Whiskey, at your favorite bar or liquor store, Devil's River Whiskey. Sinfully smooth. I'm Sean Silver. Tim McCone has your next update. You can get Sports Hub headlines anytime using your Alexa voice activated speed.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi, welcome to Metro.
Hey, my daughter here bet me that if we switch to Metro, we can get two phones and a tablet for free.
Actually, I said when we switch to Metro, we get two awesome phones and a brand new tablet for free.
So what do you say to that?
I'd say she's right.
Thank you.
Unwrap two phones and a tablet for free, only at Metro. Plus sales tax and activation fee. Tablet free after rebate redemption. Requires two voice lines on $60 base rate plan. Limit one tablet offer and four phone offers per account. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Head to Salvador Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram for Employee Pricing Plus at the Big Finish event. That's employee pricing on most new models plus additional qualifying rebates. Shop now and save. Salvador, just off Route 2 in Gardner, and at salvadorauto.com. Some models excluded.
Your holiday menu is waiting at BJ's Wholesale Club, where you'll find everything from tempting entrees to delicious desserts at everyday low prices, including free custom cutting of your holiday roast. Welcome to your one-stop shop for entertaining. BJ's, live generously.
Are you ready to reach for 2020 in 2020? Prepare today and save big time by putting money in your medical flex account to pay for it. Have flex dollars you need to use before the end of the year? Boston Laser accepts all flexible spending programs. Boston Laser also offers interest-free payment options and will give you $700 off by signing up for their patient loyalty program. So what are you waiting for? Do what I did. Change your life forever with LASIK. Book your free evaluation today at bostonlaser.com. Boston Laser has locations in Brookline, Wellesley, Bedford, Andover, and a brand new location in Milford. If it's LASIK, it's Boston Laser.
It's the Ram Big Finish event, and this holiday season, our gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. That means everyone gets the same price our employees get on select vehicles all month long. The Ram 1500, with its available Hemi V8, will help get you where you need to go. And Ram 3500, with up to 1,000 pound-feet of diesel torque, means you'll be ready for anything the holidays throw your way. So hurry into the Ram Big Finish event today and unwrap your gift of Employee Pricing Plus. While qualified lessees of competitive vehicles get a low mileage lease on the 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Express Quad Cab 4x4 with a V6 engine for $169 a month for 36 months with $4,119 due at signing, tax, title, license extra. Offer is available on the purchase or lease of a new 2020 Ram 1500 DT or new 2019 Ram trucks, excluding Ram ProMaster, Ram ProMaster City, and Ram Chassis Cab models. See dealer for details. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution to lease the U.S. Bank. Customer responsible for $200 administration fee. Extra charge for miles over 22,500. Residency restrictions apply. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 1-2.
It all starts with great seats to the game. Next thing you know, you're three hot dogs, two bags of peanuts, and a tub of popcorn deep. And it's not even halftime. Your money is your business. Making it less complicated is ours. We're Salem 5 Bank, and we're on a mission to make spending, saving, and managing your money easier. So one quick mobile transfer, and you're back in your seats with a well-fed crew. Game on. Salem 5. Let's uncomplicate money. Member FDIC, member DIF.
At Plymouth Rock, we know that you're more than just an ordinary Patriots fan. You want behind-the-scenes tours of Gillette Stadium. You want discounts at the Pro Shop. You want priority access to Patriots tickets. What you need is the New England Patriots official auto insurance program from Plymouth Rock. With savings on insurance and exclusive Patriots benefits, it's a program built for fans like you. Get in the game today at PlymouthRock.com/touchdown.
Football playoff races are heating up, and you can follow all the action at BetOnline.net. It's all about the playoffs and draft picks this week, and BetOnline.net is there for you during all the late-season drama. Week 15 in the pros features co-divisional leaders Houston and Tennessee and a wild-card battle between Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Before the next kickoff, head over to BetOnline.net for the latest news, scores, and odds. Bring the game home with BetOnline.net.
These seats are awesome. Just like everything else in the 2019 Sierra SLE. Just $279 a month with $19.99 down on a 36-month lease only at McGee Buick GMC, Route 20 in Charlton, or McGeeBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade. Now, let's turn up the game.
As our football team looks to repeat, we at Feldman Surveyors continue to focus on our clients' success. Hi, it's Michael Feldman, and if you need survey, BIM, or construction layout for your project, please visit FeldmanSurveyors.com and call us so we can make it easier to do your job. Feldman Surveyors, right from the ground up.
All right, folks, set up your consultation to start losing weight and get healthy this holiday season. It'll be a gift to you and your loved ones as well. They'll be thanking you for it. Awaken180WeightLoss.com.
Shoe
center, fire, score! The Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final half hour of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Ty Anderson with you here on this Saturday morning. Whole lot going on around the NHL, and that's why we bring in Billy Jaffe. Of course, you can see him as part of the Nesson broadcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline this morning. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Where to start? I mean, we've got 2 weeks' worth of news to cram into one, so... first and foremost, Taylor Hall got pulled out of a game last night because it sounds like trade is potentially imminent. Where's he going?
Good question. Teams like Colorado, where he played last night, Calgary seem to be at the forefront. There's obviously, I could see the New York Islanders making a play for him, too. I could. I mean, there's obviously a lot going on out there right now. Ray Shiro, GM of New Jersey, is definitely in the driver's seat here. I think he's going to get a nice return for him, a real nice return. I like Taylor. I think he's a good player. I don't know if I'd give up the bank for him, though, personally. I know he had an MVP year, 2 years ago? But he's been inconsistent, and I guess we don't know if he is a bona fide winner, not considering the teams that he has been on. But he can be a dominant force out there. You know, all I keep hearing, and this is very, this is just rumor stuff, is that though there's a couple of teams out west that seem to be in the lead for his services over eastern teams.
Who would be the most desperate to get him? Like, who needs him the most to put them over the top?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right, Ty? Desperation's in the eye, same type of thing. I mean, you know, could the Dallas Stars use him to get over the top? They're a good team, and I know we'll touch on their interesting couple of days, but, you know, would they be considered desperate? No, but would it make them great? I mean, Calgary is the type of team, and boy, would that be interesting. How about if he went back to Alberta, although to a different team instead of Edmonton? How about the Edmonton Oilers, too? Are they desperate for him? I mean, they might be. Could that get them to another level? I think they need a defense more than they need another forward. But, I mean, who's the most desperate? To me, Colorado makes a ton of sense, and Joe Sakic has so much in his stockpile, in his arsenal of assets to trade, but I wouldn't call them a desperate team. But if it's going to put them to that oomph level, that nth degree level, I guess, you know, would you consider that desperate?
I mean, when you look at the standings out west, everybody's packed within about 5 or 6 points of each other from the top of the divisions of both divisions down to the wild card spots and outside the playoffs. Everybody's within about, you know, 5 or 6 points, it feels like. So I feel like any of those teams could feel, you know, at this point, feel like they need a little shot in the arm.
Yeah, and on the one hand, they feel good about where they are, right? They say, hey, we're not in a bad spot. On the other hand, like you said, they could use a shot and say, hey, you know what? We really need something to juice us and to get us over that next step. You know, what's it going to take to get them? Is it a first-round pick and a top prospect and a depth guy? And I don't know. Could there be more to the deal, too? I don't think so. When I mean more, I mean other assets coming from New Jersey. Could this also just be the fact, you know, could last night be, fellas, that Ray Shiro feels like he's got something brewing? I think he wants to get something done before next week's trade deadline freeze, which goes into effect for a couple of days. You know, and he's hoping, and therefore he didn't want to risk playing his player. Maybe that deal fizzles too, and you know, who knows? It's been very quiet. It obviously picked up incredibly quickly how with his bags packed and outside the locker room yesterday and not playing. So the rumor mill went strong. But on the other hand, usually the guys that really hear stuff haven't come up with anything concrete yet. Right. And that says to me that there's two or three teams that are really trying to make something happen.
Well, it's a good way, if nothing else, for, you know, to kind of stoke the fire on it, right? I mean, if you maybe just play it out and let everybody know, hey, we're ready to make this deal right now.
Yeah.
That might help, you know, stoke a few extra offers. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. No question about it. You know, maybe there was something with Colorado and they were going to do the old walk across the hall. I remember Jimmy Dowd did that years ago, and I think he actually went from Colorado to the Blackhawks or vice versa. Blackhawks, I don't remember exactly. He literally had his bags walked down the hall and he changed teams and he came out for warm up with the other team a couple of hours later. So it happens, and who knows, maybe something was percolating last night.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the coaching situations around the NHL this year. We've seen 5 coaches already dismissed for various things, some of them hockey-related, some of them not hockey-related. You know, you mentioned Dallas and the Jim Montgomery situation there this week, which is, you know, has people scratching their heads trying to figure out what all that was about. Before we get into the individual situations, what do you make of the announcement by Gary Bettman, this 4-point plan, anti-abuse, all of this? I mean, this has come about incredibly quickly, it feels like, based on what happened with Peters, some of the allegations that people have made about Babcock and whatnot. Is the NHL being proactive here and really trying to put their foot down on what has been, I think for a long time, a part of hockey culture that many people don't know about?
Well, I don't know if they're being proactive. I think they're being reactive and in a quick response way. So maybe you might look at that as being proactive. I don't think they're out ahead of it, RJ. I think that they're saying, all right, we need to deal with this, and we're going to be the first league that has a mandate or a doctor, whatever you want, a four-point plan. I kind of call it common sense, most of it. The fact that I'm thrilled that they got together. They discussed it. More should come out of it. I do think more of it needs to be flushed out. One of the concerns is that many of the players don't think that, you know, somebody will report things while playing. They don't want to be termed that guy if it comes out, because the fear is that it will come out even though it's anonymous. I think that program needs to be flushed out more. I think there needs to be more encouragement of mental health awareness right away. And I think, you know, I know it's part of it. I'm glad there's a conversation, a real conversation about it. Do I think the plan is perfect yet? No, but I think that it's a start. So, but to say it's proactive, RJ, I think it's a reaction to what happened. And I think the reality is that more of this has gone on, not just in our sport, but in other sports. And a lot of it does get swept under the carpet, or it gets talked about in the back room. And then they figure out a way to deal with it, usually, not always to the liking of one of the parties. We need to be honest, and we need to say more needs to be done. I think this is a start of more needing to be done, or more being done.
I know we don't know what happened with Jim Montgomery, you know, truthfully, but do you think that whatever it was sped along by the announcement that had just been made, what, a day or two prior to that? Do you think that
No, I don't. If I'm taking Jim Nill at face value, which I do, I know, give me a bit, professionally, otherwise he would be lying in his press conference. That this didn't have any impact. This has nothing to do with the program that the NHL just had come out. This was not related to the situation of, let's say, a Peters. And this was conduct unbecoming to his team and to what they felt that, you know, look, any other employer in any other business, they have code of conducts too. And there's a violation of that. Oftentimes people get terminated. This says, if, again, taking Jimmy at face value, no, he said this has nothing to do with it. He said it was nothing illegal. But it was obviously something that put the team in what they felt was a very uncompromised position, a team that would be poor for them from a marketing, from a PR, from just a visual perspective. And therefore, that's what I'm going to go with. And if it comes out that it wasn't that and it was based off something else, I think that the Stars would be in a very precarious position, because they were emphatic that it wasn't.
They move on to a really experienced interim head coach in Rick Bowness. That's a team that Dallas Stars team that has the ability to make a run in them, you feel like, and you know, to be able to turn to a guy with that level of experience does help soften the blow quite a bit.
Well, it does, but they've got an amazing bench. When you think about the other guys there too. I mean, Nelson and Stevens, and I mean, guys that have, they three guys that have all been head coaches in the NHL, and they've got a lot of good professional people there. I'm thrilled for Rick Bowness. I texted with him in the other day, and you know, he obviously wasn't expecting this. It caught him completely by surprise. It's a very odd and unique way to be put back behind the bench full time. I mean, as the middle guy instead of the side guy. He alluded to that in the press conference early on. He's like, look, it's been a while since I've been the middle guy. Now, Rick Bowness was out there for other head coaching jobs. He was considered, for the Anaheim Ducks job before Dallas Eakins got it. And he's been out there. He's talked to other teams over the past few years to be considered for their head coach. He obviously didn't get it, but he's been a tremendous guy, a tremendous communicator with players. He's oftentimes been the number two guy that has not played good cop versus a coach's bad cop, but it's just a different cop. For years, he was the guy, you know, he was helping John Cooper out in Tampa and dealing with the defense there, and really instrumental in helping get Victor Hedman to a certain level, and dealing with Anton Stralman. I know both those guys loved him. And so he's a player's guy. He has been the head coach before of a lot of teams that have been not great, though. So it'll be interesting to see how he does here. But I know the players are going to play hard for him.
We also saw this week Peter DeBoer get dismissed in San Jose. New Jersey's made a coaching change. Obviously, Toronto has made a coaching change. I'm putting the, you know, the Calgary and the Dallas situations aside. Did the success of the St. Louis Blues last year and the turnaround that that team had enter into teams maybe having a little quicker trigger this year?
I can't imagine that it didn't have. I mean, everything has impact in the real, but I think the realization that certain teams, you know, underperforming. Now you could argue that the Sharks, I wouldn't have called them a high level. I'd call them a good team coming into the year that would definitely challenge for playoff, but not a great team. I didn't think they were so dynamic. I thought they were getting older in certain places, and the goaltending was a huge question mark. Is still a huge conundrum for them. But they still weren't doing certain things. You know, Doug Wilson looked at certain things, both offensively and defensively, both the eye test and analytically, and he just said, all right, it's time to make a change. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, you talk about St. Louis. St. Louis just changed, you know, Mike Yeo out, and they brought in an assistant, but they kept other guys there. They may have made another little tweak, but this was, I mean, you want to talk about as big of a full-sale change I think I've ever seen in a in-season move. I mean, Bobby Bugner was on the bench already, and he does have a little bit of head coaching experience with Florida, albeit it wasn't the most tremendous results that Florida had. But this is, I mean, to me, it sounds like also it screams, we want to bring the Sharks identity back that people can relate to. So they bring in Nabokov, who was a fan favorite. They bring Ricci back, who was a huge fan favorite. This also screams of, we're going to be loyal to our fan base and show them that we're all Sharks type of thing.
All right, we'll finish out on this.
We're not going to get Ty? Yeah, go ahead. I thought Ty was there with you. He's talking about bringing Kovalchuk in.
Well, that's why I was going to save that for the end.
Okay.
So Ty made the case this morning that if you could get Ilya Kovalchuk, if the Kings do in fact terminate him this week, that if you could get him for really short money, he'd be willing to give him a run here in Boston. Would you?
On the surface, no, I wouldn't. Not right away. I mean, if you tried other things, I love Colby. I knew him when he was a rookie. He gave me a puck. We had a joke all rookie year when he was at Atlanta, or when he got 40, I mean, his next year. I'm like, look, if you get 40, I get a puck, right, buddy? And he gave me a puck. I think it was a practice puck signed. I loved it. He's an awesome dude. His family wants to stay in the States. He does not want to go back to Europe. I can tell you that implicitly. It obviously hasn't worked out. The coaches in L.A. have been very impressed with how professional he's been. He has skated with them. With all that said, I mean, I understand the whole flyer thing. Take a flyer, take a flyer, take a flyer. Financially, I'd have to look at it. I don't know all the ins and outs of the salary cap, but if you're telling me you can get him at the league minimum and, you know, your contract situation number-wise or fine, Ty, I don't know where the Bruins are at on their contractual status, the amounts. You're only allowed 50. But if there's still room and you're like, all right, you know, we still got two contracts, maybe. But otherwise, I don't think so. I think the way the game is played nowadays, I'd say no. I'd say no. And here's the thing. You might get four, five, six games out of him where he's got the jam, he's got this, he's got that going. But I'm more concerned about the long haul for this team making a long run in the playoffs.
These are all fair concerns. I agree. Like, this is not like a slam dunk to me. I'm just saying that, hey, if you get that Marlowe money for him, that's when I'm interested.
I'll listen, but again, let's sit down and I will do my due diligence and say, where are the Bruins at with their contracts, the amount that they're allowed? Where exactly are they at with their financial? You got to understand, you bring another guy in, now you're like, okay, so now you're talking your right side, you know, Heinen potentially, Backes, Ritchie, Kovalchuk. You're like, okay, are we just grasping here instead of trying to make a real deal, better deal to fill it and give everybody the vibe that we need?
Well, the answer is, are you grasping? Yes. Yes, you are.
I'm not ready to grasp yet. I'm not ready to. It does need to be fixed. We know that. And I'd love to see it sooner rather than later. But I don't know. I don't think we're at the fly. I mean, maybe the flyer situation, fellas, happened at trade deadline where you can't, you know, maneuver another deal. And then you say, okay, now let's take a flyer, and we'll offer him $675. Bring him in here for 2 months, and we'll see.
That's, you know. Billy, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the tube.
All right, guys, 6 o'clock tonight, Ness, and look forward to it. Bye-bye.
Billy Jaffe joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. 6 o'clock on Ness and 6:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Judd and Bob. 7 o'clock face-off Bruins and the Florida Panthers.
Perfect night to sit in and watch hockey game.
That's about right. Yeah. Get yourself a nice warming cocktail or, you know, whatever you like to
do.
Hey,
man, we don't do that in my house.
That's true. Straight edge.
What I love about that Jaffe call is that he referenced, there's Rick Bowness, obviously. He's been around so long that he coached the Winnipeg Jets. Not the new one, the old one.
Yeah, the originals.
He also mentioned Mike Ricci from the Sharks, who looks just like Geddy Lee, in case anyone's wondering. Go home and Google that, and you'll never look at him the same ever again. But yes, love around the NHL. Love it.
I didn't think we'd hear about Geddy Lee on this week's hockey show, yeah. But that's
thanks
why you're
Tom
here.
Sui. Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait.
And we'll have the whole gang back in studio next week as the Bruins will be home from their road trip. Stick around for Gasper and Murray coming up next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my 4th week, I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.